is a special day, isn't it, in our calendar. I went and did the Armistice Day service on Friday at Amana House, and we had a packed room. In fact, I have never done anything there where I've had so many people. I only print, out of habit, I print 22 sets of hymns, and we ran out. So it was a very good turnout. People were sharing their hymn books. But, you know, it was so important to them. And, of course, I was speaking to a room of elderly people, and those people really had great respect for the remembrance of the war dead. One serviceman was there with his hat on and his medals, and I was very moved to see him there. It was really lovely to have him involved in the day. Today, all that a lot of people know is that it messes up the journey to church, because you're partly blocked in the town centre, and if you're coming through the town centre to get here, it can be a little bit awkward. So well done to you who made it here. But what is important that we remember is that freedom is never free. Freedom is something that somebody else paid for. And when we talk about wars, we talk about people having paid for our freedom on the battlefield. But actually, when it comes to church, we can use the same language, because if you really want to look at the passion of Jesus, that time when he went from being in front of Pilate and Herod and the high priest, and being beaten to within an inch of his death then, and then dragged along to a place of crucifixion where he died. If you want to know about battle, that was a site of great spiritual warfare. You know that you go to some places and there is a sign up saying this is a place of special scientific interest. Or you get a blue sign that says John Wesley was born here, or something like that. But we should always remember, when we break bread together, when we have our little communion kit, we should always remember that we are standing in remembrance at a site of special spiritual warfare. If you want to know what happened on the cross, Satan was defeated. And he stands defeated today. In fact, he cowers defeated, because he is unable to in any way counteract the great victory that was won by Jesus on the cross. And I thank God for that. Last week, Elsie read a lovely little poem and about Satan cannot...
He's trembling. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees.
I'm glad that I can depend on Elsie to remember that. But how true it is. Satan trembles. And we need to remember that this is what we are taking bread and wine for. And it's not just a religious tradition. This is about something that has resulted in our salvation.
Praise God.
I was with an ex-military person the other day, and they said to me they had been speaking to a bunch of school kids, a bunch of 15-year-old school kids. And they said to them, do you know why we celebrate Remembrance Sunday? And they said, no. They said, do you know what we celebrate on the 11th of the 11th at 11 a.m.? And they said, no. And so she said to them, well, you need to ask your teacher, because it's important that you know. And she came to me and she was quite distressed. As a retired military person herself, she was very distressed that these 15-year-olds had no idea what it was about. And I feel very strongly that we should always remember them. Yeah. I feel that it's very important. But I also feel very strongly that we should remember him.
Yeah.
That we should remember Jesus. What she said to me was, Stephen, if it wasn't for our lot in the Second World War, we'd all be speaking German now.
Yeah.
And I felt slightly on dodgy ground. I felt, is that probably slightly inappropriate? But it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is true. And what's really important now is we would be talking the devil's language. Had Jesus not won on the cross the great victory that he won, and he won it for you, and he won it for me, and he's won it for all of those out there, they just don't know yet.
Yeah.
So I want us just to think for a few minutes about our great victor Jesus. Jesus said, do this. Now, we have over the years used a loaf of bread, Car's water biscuits, Tesco's cheap copy of Car's water biscuits. We have used very pleasant little wafers, and we've also used very pleasant little crackers. Whatever we're using, that isn't really the point. The important thing is what we do with it. And we are encouraged by William himself this morning to remember Jesus. We are supposed to remember him when we do this. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're doing it as part of a main meal or whether you're doing it with something symbolic on a Sunday morning. What matters is that we remember the one who has done what he has done, yeah, so we can live the way we live.
Yeah.
You see, I was talking to somebody this week, and they told me about some things that happened in their lives. And it was obvious to me that they were living with chains around their arms and legs, figuratively. They were in a terrible state. They were bound and gagged. And that was because they had not heard the true gospel. They went to church, but they hadn't got the idea. They didn't know that Jesus had died for them to set them free. They didn't know they could be free. And I then went somewhere else where I heard the story of a woman who was severely disabled, died fairly young of her disabilities, really. And she grew up as a teenager, bitter, absolutely bitter with her lot in life. And then one day she was wheeling her chair past a little chapel that said Pentecostal Church outside, and she went in. And when she came out, she was a different person.
Yeah.
She was still in the wheelchair. She still had her disabilities. She still had a life where she lived with and managed pain. But her heart had changed. Because she had met the man who had died to set her free. And for the rest of her life, which was, I think she lived to about 35. For the rest of her life, she was an encourager. She was a tonic. She was the life and soul of the church because she knew him,
yeah,
who had set her free.
Yeah.
And she remembered him. You know, what really matters is that however we do this, whether we do it with a fancy COVID-safe communion kit, or whether we all dig in with our hands into a loaf of bread and hope that people have washed their hands previously, however we do this, what matters is that we remember Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news gospel of Jesus Christ, is there simply to remind us of this. Good news, people, you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be dragged down. You don't have to be lost in pain and in anguish. You don't have to be bitter. You can instead be lost in wonder, love and praise, because the Jesus of the cross has set us free. We just have to welcome that. We have to say, yes, Jesus, Lord, I want some of that now. And he gives us that freedom. You know, I grew up, well, both Pauline and I grew up in difficult households. But I grew up with a mother who was mentally ill. These days, I would have been whisked off into care somewhere and she would never have seen me again. But in those days, it was a bit different. And I would sit at the kitchen table, and when I was 8 years old, she started doing this. She would put a bottle of sleeping pills in front of me and a glass of water and one in front of herself. And she would say, now, look, Stephen, we're going to have a bottle of this each. And I, at 8 years old, I had to stand up to her and say, no, mother, I'm not going to do, and neither are you. And I had to raise my voice, and I had a shouting match, which for the first time as an 8 year old, I won. And you know what? That day, I was fighting for my life.
Yeah.
I was a very obedient child, but that day I did not do what I was told. And I thank God for that, because I wouldn't have had the joy of life. I wouldn't have had the joy of marrying Pauline. I wouldn't have had the joy of raising four children. I wouldn't have had the joy of seeing my seven-year-old dying in my arms and looking back and saying, boy, haven't we had seven great years? You know, there are so many things in life which are difficult, but Jesus has brought us good news. And if we will just hold on to him, if we will just hold on to him, his sacrifice on the cross is enough.
Yes, it is.
It is enough.
Yes.
You might say, well, I would like it if Jesus would do this. Well, maybe you would like it, but Jesus has done enough.
Yeah.
And we have to accept it on his terms.
Yeah.
We have to accept him on his terms.
Yeah.
We have to call on his name. The apostles say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Another version says, will be delivered. And the same word, really, it's a subtle difference in interpretation, but all biblical translation is a matter of interpretation. And when you look at the word, it means saved. It also means delivered. And our English language doesn't have one word that means both. But what matters is that he will set you free, deliver you, and he has done that, setting you free from the power of sin and death in your life, and you can live again with him, and you can know him who is the resurrection and the life, and you can know that power in your life, giving you life day after day, whether you are like that crippled lady in that wheelchair, or whether you are an athletic type who can leap around walls and small buildings. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus has done enough for you.
Yeah, that's right.
So we do this. We take bread. We do this because we remember the pain that Jesus underwent, that we might live free of eternal pain. You see, the Bible tells us that after this life, life actually doesn't end, it goes on. And there is a place of waiting for judgment. And that after that, we will all stand before God and give account of ourselves. And then there will be a great newness brought about by the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we will enter into the fulfilled kingdom of God. Something which John the Baptist introduced, Jesus preached about continually. Something which is to be attained. Something which is to be experienced. Boy, do I want to live in the kingdom of God. Although I am already living in it, I am just not living in the fullness of it, because the kingdom of God has arrived, but not yet. We are in an unrealized kingdom. Jesus is king. God is king. Not everybody realizes that yet. They will do. But right now, those who do realize that can experience so much of his kingdom. Where do miracles come from? And you might say, well, I'm not sure that they happen. Let me tell you, miracles happen. I have experienced miracles. I have experienced great miracles, and yet we also lost our son. Sometimes I haven't received a miracle, but I have to say, most of the time I have. The fact that this church exists after 19 years is a miracle. You know, God has been good to us, so very good to us. But we need to give him a chance, and we need to do this in remembrance of him, because he has paid enough for all of us. Right. He has done what was necessary, and we need to remember that. And I want to suggest to you today that when you take the bread with me later, that we need to do this more thoughtfully. You see, to me, breaking bread is a little bit of a tightrope. We Protestants rebelled against a church that was corrupt 400 years ago, and we threw a bit of the baby out with the bathwater. And whereas to them the emblems were holy and they actually became the body and blood of Jesus, we took it the other way round and said, right, this is a cracker and grape juice. And we took it on as totally metaphorical, totally symbolic. And actually, I think there is something to learn from both positions. But we need to recognise that this just isn't a quick, get it down your gullet, quick, wash it down, up to the King, to King Jesus, and then we can move on. We have got to be more serious about breaking bread together than just doing that. It isn't just about a quick bite, a quick sup. It's more than that. It's remembering Jesus. It's doing this. You see, to the Catholics, even today, they will say that you literally meet Jesus when you break bread and drink the cup. Now, I don't think that there's anything too wrong with that. But some people will just say, well, we're just remembering a deal that Jesus has done with his Father. Covenant's been cut and we're just honouring him. And I don't think there's anything too wrong with that. But what we must remember in all of this is Jesus. Do I meet Jesus when I break bread? Well, don't tell anyone, but yes, I do. Now that's just between you and me and the 1,000 people that are listening to this on the internet. I actually meet Jesus. But is it something mystical, something belly's rung and a change takes place? I don't really think that's the point. I think the point is that when we remember him, he is with us.
Yeah.
Because he promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. So I meet him when we come to church. And I remember him sometimes in a moment that can be quite intense and special when we break bread together.
Yeah.
All I'm saying to you is, why don't we have the best of both worlds?
Yeah.
You know, this remains a cracker. It remains grape juice. But there is one thing that remains. And that's the risen Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah. Yeah.
He remains.
Yeah.
And I want to remember he who remains.
Yeah.
And we need to do that sometimes, purposefully recognizing the power of God in the breaking of the bread. When we break bread, we remember his bodily death. We remember the pain he suffered. We remember the price he paid. We remember the great spiritual battle that he won.
Yeah.
When we drink the cup, we remember the new covenant that he cut in his body, in his blood. Covenant is a word that means cutting. Literally, it literally means cutting. Covenants is a word which in Britain we mainly use in a legal term. Mm. A solicitor will deal with your deeds and covenants. Mm. You might hear of it when you're having someone's will read to you. You might hear of it when you're buying a piece of property. Mm. But what really matters is that we understand what God means by a covenant, because the legal issues are quite secondary, although you may need to understand them too. What really matters is that we know that when God cut a covenant with Abraham, Abraham sliced animals in half and put half on the left and half on the right, and then God did an amazing thing. He put Abraham to sleep so that he couldn't do anything. And God walked between the pieces. It was a culturally acceptable thing to do in those days, that when you were sealing a deal, that you cut a covenant with someone by slicing animals in half. And you, the pair of you, this is the important thing, the pair of you walked together between the pieces. And in doing so, you were saying, may it be to me or to you, as it is with these animals, if either of us doesn't keep our promise. But with Abraham, the only person that walked was God. And God was saying, Abraham, may I be as these dead animals if I don't keep my word. And that's why God keeps his word. And when Jesus did this for us, cutting a new covenant in his body by the shedding of his own blood, we weren't born. That's the blunt truth. We didn't even have the option to walk between the pieces. That's because Jesus did it all. Jesus paid for us. He gave us the entry ticket. He said, come on now, I've done this, I've made a perfect way, a new way to my Father. All you have to do is follow me. Yeah. Call on my name. And in doing that, he established something which lasts forever. Forever. Not for a day. He keeps his promise forever. You know that verse as well, don't you, Elsie?
Yeah.
You know what? God has done something in the body of Jesus which carries on and on and on and on. And as long as there is something to drink and something to eat, we can remember that. And in doing so, we are not just partaking of that promise, but we are saying, yes, Jesus, we remember that you did this.
Yep.
We recognize that you did this. We honor you that you did this. We say thank you that you did this. And we do all of these things in remembrance of him.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, this stuff. It's so simple.
Yeah.
So simple. We do this every week. And all I'm saying to you today is, just as we have today remembered servicemen that died for us, so we're not speaking German, let's today remember the Son of God who died for us, so we are not living the life that Satan wants us to. We have become an insurgency in his world because we have raised the banner and said, the kingdom of our God and of his Christ is here. We are standard bearers. We are ambassadors.
Yep.
We're the ones who are saying yes to Jesus. So, this is what we're doing when we're breaking bread. A new covenant. When I was growing up, all we did was play cowboys and Indians. We don't do that now. We don't even call them Indians because they're Native Americans.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think the change in nomenclature is positive. And I thank God that we can learn from past mistakes. But I always loved the movies where the cowboy and the Native American would cut a line on their palms of their hands with the blade of a knife,
yeah,
so that they were both bleeding, and they would clasp their hands together. And the Native American would say, you are now my blood brother.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did for us.
Yep.
He cut a covenant for us. The only thing is that we didn't have to shed our blood.
Yeah.
He supplied enough for both of us.
Right.
Jesus shed enough blood so that we don't have to do. I remember one of these movies, like it was yesterday, where this guy died for that guy. Saved the Native American's life. And at the end, they put on his tombstone, greater love has no man than this, than he gives his life for his friend. And the vicar said, actually, we're going to change that to even greater love than has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his enemy. Because those men were enemies. And I often thought to myself, yes, God calls us friends, although naturally we were enemies. So Jesus did it both ways. He died for his enemies so that he could call them his friends. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there was a song quite popular a few years ago in churches, I am a friend of God. And I don't know why It never caught on here. I didn't really like it, if I'm honest. I just thought it was a bit frivolous. But do you know what? I do like the sentiment of that song. Because I am a friend of God.
Yeah.
I am. You see, I could look out and I could say, well, I'm a friend of Kelvin. I'm a friend of Bill. I'm a friend of all of you. I could just quote your names. But I don't want to be someone who drops names into the conversations. You know, say, well, as the other day Kanye West was saying to me. But I am a friend of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it's not on me. It's not that I am such a desirable person that Jesus added me on Facebook. It's that he made a way for me to be his friend.
Yeah.
And then welcomed me in. And you know what? I am always marvelling at that. God forbid that I ever get to a point in my life that I think for some reason I deserved it. Because I didn't. Jesus made a way for me. And the last thing that it said in those words that Bill read to us was, when you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Yeah.
Blow a trumpet. If only Paul Thomas was here, he would do that really well, wouldn't he? When you blow the trumpet, you're saying, the king is here.
Yeah.
The king is here. The other day, we did that in York. Because the king was here.
Yeah.
But a greater king is here when we open our little packets. When we break bread, when we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater king is here.
Yeah.
Xander and Melody are away at a conference, but Xander said to me, now I can say this because he's not here, he said to me, Stephen, you know, now we've got a king, do you think we should be lifting our cups and saying to the king? Maybe we ought to just tweak that a little bit and say to King Jesus,
yeah.
Which is why last week I said to King Jesus. Because
yeah.
I thought, well, I have to have a bit of respect for that. It isn't the same thing as lifting your cup to the king when we had a queen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it may not be a big deal. But what really is important to us is that we remember Jesus and we're remembering the King of Kings because we are proclaiming him as Lord. In the early church, if they were caught breaking bread like this and proclaiming Jesus as Lord, they were slaughtered. They were taken to the Colosseum, some of them. Some of them were strapped on wooden stakes and used as candles to light their evening parties in Caesar's palace. It was a very costly thing to do to proclaim Jesus as Lord. These days, nobody is stopping us. But do we even do it? Let's remember that Jesus is Lord, folks. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break bread together. Father God, we thank you today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those of us that know, we want to break bread together to remember. Lord, if there are any of us that don't know, I pray that right now you might make yourself very real to them.
Yes,
that today they might experience the goodness of God together.